The Jewish holiday of Purim is coming up this week on March 5th, but whether or not you celebrate it, you can enjoy the many shapes and flavors of the Purim cookie or pastry. They're called hamantaschen. The traditional sweet has been updated many times in delicious ways. Miriam Pearl has a few of her own gluten and nut-free twists on the three-cornered cookie. She's the Montreal founder of Delicious Without Gluten. Welcome to All in a Weekend, Miriam.
Hi, thank you.
Now, people may have seen hamantaschen in bakeries and grocery stores, but for those who haven't, what do they look like?
They're a triangular shape. They're really pockets. They start with a circle, and there's filling inside, and then you close the pocket, and you can put anything you want in it.
So, like fruit, chocolate, poppy seeds?
Exactly.
Ew. And where does it come from?
Well, the hamantaschen really is from the story of the Book of Esther with the bad guy who's Haman, and his plan was foiled, and the Jews were celebrating, and so the Haman, the ear, they say the pocket, it's a three-corner pocket for the Haman's ears, or his shaped hat that he used to wear, and we just celebrate it and make fun of it and try to make things that are more happy and celebrate on this holiday.
And that's also where you wear costumes, right? Because it's a...
Yes, it's carnival time. It's time to celebrate that the plan was foiled and we're doing everything to have fun in
fact,
memory.
You even have costumes in your car right now after this interview. You are running off.
Yes,
to a Purim festival.
Exactly. We're making hamantaschen and having a big Purim carnival in Hampstead today.
What's the traditional hamantaschen made of?
It's a dough. It's a dough and a filling. And like I said, you pinch the dough to enclose the filling, and it's just a fun treat.
Like, is it like a regular kind of sugar cookie dough base generally?
I'd say yes. It could be a softer dough, could be a sandier dough. I mean, Everybody has their own recipe.
Oh, I'm sure.
But traditionally speaking, it's just like a hard dough and a pastry dough, and the filling is usually something soft or sweet.
What do you substitute in the flour for the flour in your gluten-free version?
So gluten-free flour exists on the market. There's all kinds of all-purpose gluten-free flours. I like to use something called Better Batter. Mm-hmm. But there are, you can make it out of, you know, rice flour, potato, tapioca starch. And then you'll need something to hold it together, which is the xanthan gum or the guar gum or some kind of psyllium husk or something to put it together.
And what inspired you to create gluten-free recipes? Because your bakery does gluten-free.
Yes, foods. We're really into allergens and gluten-free because I'm all about that because that's where my children are. I have two kids with celiac disease and a daughter with a peanut allergy. So everything stems from my family, and really I'm trying to provide delicious treats so that everybody can be included. The fun.
We spoke with an allergist a few weeks ago about having to kind of manage that many allergies in a family. When you've got more than one, it's like you're filling the cup of water and it's going to tip over soon. So what point did you get where you just said, okay, I need to feed these kids something and they can't eat anything?
You know, it really helped. I had a bakery beforehand, so I was used to baking and discovering, and I'm much of a recipe developer. So for me, this was a great challenge, and I redid recipes and recipes over and over and over again until I was able to get, like, a birthday cake that was, you know, really great, that my kids would really love. I really wanted everybody, like especially my kids at the beginning, to feel normal and not to be left out. And so that's how it got started. And then from there, it was just a discovery.
And how much are they the testing grounds for these things?
Oh, yes. My kids have to eat everything first, or my family, everybody tastes it first. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you try, and, you know, with experience now, I can pretty much take a recipe that was, like, from my favorite before, and then, you know, translate it into gluten-free.
Okay, you are actually going to share one of your hamantaschen recipes with us on Facebook. It's the chocolate cream cheese hamantaschen. And you have a chocolate hamantaschen here. I think for journalistic purposes, I need to try one.
Yes, you do.
What do traditionalists think of this, of the gluten-free recipe? Now, do you have like bubbies going, I never made hamantasha this way?
You know, you cannot beat this. This is, you know, heaven, chocolate heaven, and you cannot get a, you know, a child or an adult who will say no to this.
So, this is really good.
It's got a lot of stuff in it. It's, you know, Valentine's was not too far before, and I used my cake pop dough inside, so you've got lots of great filling, and it's...
Cake pop dough?
Yes.
I never thought of doing that.
Yeah, it's great filling, and it's mixed with some non-dairy cream cheese and chocolate chips, and it's drizzled with chocolate, and it has sprinkles, and... It's really a fun cookie.
So this is dairy-free, nut-free, and gluten-free.
Correct. And does it taste good, Sonali?
It tastes really good.
I see your face.
It tastes really good. And you're kind of not leaving the studio with that box. But there are other... We actually had... I had a tweet in when I was tweeting about this, and they said... My Bobby always made them with apricots and sugar and almonds.
Yes.
In the filling for the hamantash. And it seems like there's a bajillion different kinds of things you can fill the cookies with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to put nuts in mine, but we don't do nuts in my bakery. So that's why I don't have any. But I do have the orange and the fruit-filled ones mm-hmm. and the traditional prune ones. We call them, poppy seeds. So
that's the traditional one.
Yeah, it's really it's called mun, but hamun tashin.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool.
And later today, you're actually giving a workshop on how to make hamantashen at the Pern Carnival in Hampstead. What are you going to be teaching at the workshop?
Really, it's open to the general public. It's at the Adath Israel Poale Tzedek Synagogue on Harrow in Hampstead. And, you know, all the kids can come and join, and we show them how to, you know, pinch the side, you know, the circle and make it into a hamantashen, and we bake it for them, and they have their names on each one. So all the kids get to eat whatever their creations are.
And when people are sort of trying to do these recipes at home, we've had chefs on this program who say, listen, get a recipe that has been tested.
Yes.
That has all the right ingredients in there, because if you're trying to make something gluten-free and you don't know kind of what the mix of the chemical mix is, essentially, you may not be able to get that chemical reaction
exactly.
that you need to make it bake. But how often or how much do you have to really experiment when you're trying to make something that does have gluten without gluten? Like, how long does the process take now as opposed to when you first started?
It's really simple. You need to add extra flavor because the flours are very dull and they absorb a lot. So they don't have any flavor. So extra, if you're adding water or something, add juice instead. If you're using, like in the poppy seed one, I actually added poppy seed to the dough. And also use extra baking powder because the flours are heavier than normal.
Does that affect the taste, though? Extra baking soda?
It's not baking soda, baking powder.
Or baking powder.
But it really, in the amounts that you use, no, I would say no. Maybe you use a little bit less salt. The whole idea of mixing, now there's a lot of gluten-free flours on the in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier for people to make it than when I first started.
I would imagine that there's just more options out there for people.
Exactly.
And for your kids, I mean, they must think this is like the best thing in the world that mom now runs a gluten-free bakery.
You know, they're so supportive and they help me at any time that I let them help me. So I'm really blessed. It's really great to be able to provide gluten-free treats for kids and for my children especially. And I, you know, every event, there's something that they can enjoy too. So I've packed some in my goodie box to go this afternoon. You know, so that they can enjoy as well. Because everywhere you go, you have to pack your own, you know?
What do you hear from parents who use your products and have sort of discovered that there are options in the gluten-free world when they have a child with celiac disease?
This is what I live for. I get emails sometimes about you know, dear Miriam, you know, my daughter ate a sandwich for the first time with your bread, and we're so excited. And, you know, I was going to say that I don't know what that, you know, if you know what that feels like, but I know that you do. And I said, yeah, you know, this is really why I do this. It really is amazing when people are just, they just don't know what to do, and they haven't found, you know, they're not handy in the kitchen, and they don't know how to start doing this.
Or they don't have the time to do it themselves, like to make the bread or make, and
exactly.
Bread especially.
It's a lot of work. I mean, we don't really cook anymore in the kitchen, right? So, you know, bringing people back into the kitchen is another big thing for me. I love to teach because I think that, you know, when your child is going to grow up, if your child has allergies and they grow up, they need to learn how to do it for themselves. You can't really rely on restaurants. Going out each time, there's a risk that you take. And so learning how to create your own and make your own is essential. And I, you know, I do little videos with my son called Cook and Bake with Jake. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. I think that's so cool that, you know, he's trying to help other kids learn how, excuse me, to cook. And, you know, it's really all about education, and it's all about passing on this knowledge and getting people back in.
And to learn how to take care of themselves, too. He's now aware of what his condition is, and he can be more aware about what's going to affect him.
Exactly.
Sounds like you're going to have fun today at the carnival in Hampstead. What's Jake's costume?
Actually, he's going to be a chef. He's going to be chef because he didn't want to, you know, he wanted something that was easy to wear because his normal costume would cover his whole head and and his hands, and he needs to work. He said, Mommy, pack me something that I can work with because he wants to help.
Oh, Mommy, pack me something I can work with.
Yes.
I think
and
I like
my daughter
already.
Will be coming too, so she'll be dressed up and helping out with everyone as well.
Well, we are going to post that chocolate hamantaschen recipe on our Facebook wall, on the CBC Montreal Facebook page, facebook.com/CBC Montreal. Miriam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Miriam Pearl is the founder of Delicious Without Gluten. She's going to be at the Purim Carnival later today at the Adath in Hampstead. It's from 11 to 2, and there's going to be a costume parade, music, arts and crafts, and Miriam Pearl's Make Your Own Hamantaschen Workshop.